Shabbat Shalom and welcome to Kehilat Tenuva, The Harvest, a Messianic Charismatic Congregation in Thornton, Colorado. You're listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. Our goal is to provide, for free, the message of the Torah from a Messianic Judaic perspective. Here's Pastor Mark.
I want to jump into this whole idea that Jesus coming as a human being was only the beginning. It's the initial fulfillment. It moves us closer to the consummation. The consummation is that God wanted to dwell in our midst. When he told Moses, tell my people, I'm going to dwell in their midst, he actually was hinting at the idea that he was going to come in each and every heart. They did not understand that at the time. It was these object lessons that took literally hundreds and hundreds of years to provide a platform, a grid to understand about the coming one. Amazing in every way. So I want to jump down to this idea that God wants to come inside of us as pictured in the incarnation. So in John chapter 14, verses 18 through 31, Jesus said this, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He's already explained to them that he's leaving them. They said, where are you going? He says, you know, it doesn't matter. It's important to understand you're not coming with me. But where I go, I'm going to build a place for you. And later I'll come back for you. And so they were startled and shocked by this idea that he was leaving them. They didn't understand what that would mean. So he assures them, he says, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. After a little while, the world will no longer see me. He's going to ascend into heaven, to the realm of heaven, and no longer will the world be able to see him. He says, because I live, you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. So we need to redefine this term love, because what the world defines it as is different than what God defines it as. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one that loves me. Isn't that true? That's the nature of love. The nature of love is, tell me what to do. I want to prove that I love you. Just give me some marching orders, right? You can really tell when your spouse loves you. Your spouse will do anything for you. And when things aren't going too good, it's like pulling teeth trying to get anything done. Isn't that true? But when you're in love, you're more than ready to serve. And Jesus is saying, if you have my commandments and you keep them, it's because you love me. He goes on to say, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And I will disclose myself to him. I will develop relationship, communion. There's something that's living in terms of a relationship that awaits you and I as we bow and fall in love with Jesus, the Son of God. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not the world? Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That's the measure of love. If you ever wonder how much you really love God, all you have to do is ask yourself, do you love the commandments? Do you love his ways? Are you bothered by his ways? Are they a hindrance to you? Are you always trying to circumnavigate your way around them? It's probably because you don't really love him too much. But see, when you love the commandments, you're hungry for the commandments, it's the indication, it's the measuring stick that you love Messiah. If anyone loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him. Now, this is it. And we will come to him. This is revolutionary. Not for us because we're on the other side. But in this generation and before, this was revolutionary. It says we, the Mashiach and the Father, we will come to him and make our abode with him. We will make our dwelling place inside of that person. So the Father is looking for those who love the Son, looking for those who love his ways. And he's saying, you know what? And me and my son are going to dwell in people like that. We're going to have a relationship and become one with people like that. And we're going to do that via the Holy Spirit. And so what you have is the fullness of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one, in us, abiding, relating, disclosing, leading, directing, dreams, vision, and adventure. God in us, the hope of glory. That's an amazing thing. This is what Sukkot is picturing, is all about, moves into Jesus, through Jesus, towards its goal. And without Jesus, there is no dwelling presence of God. Do you understand that? Without Jesus, there's no dwelling presence of God. Without Jesus, he's not going to come and dwell in your sukkahs, let alone your bodies deep inside you. You can build a third temple, but God's not going to dwell there because he's already moved from the type and shadow into the reality. And the reality is his Son is that dwelling presence. And wherever the Son is, there also is the Father. The presence of the Father comes through the Son. The rule and reign of God comes through the Son. It's all about the Son. He's exalted him. And so with him, we have the genuine temple. And when the temple moves inside of you and me, what happens to you and me? If the temple of God moves inside of you and me, what happens?
We get full of love.
Oh, we get full of love. But if the temple is in you, what does that make you?
The temple of the Lord.
The temple. You're the temple. Now you're the temple. And you're the temple. And together we're a big mega temple. We are what the temple in Jerusalem represented, the dwelling presence of God. We become living stones built up together in this one big mega dwelling place of God in the world today. That is the fulfillment of Sukkah. That's the meaning of Sukkah. Hallelujah. The temple. So we'll get into that later. Next week. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I've spoken to you while abiding with you. I've spoken to you about this. We've dialogued about this. While I was with you on earth, we talked about these things. When I was with you, who? Jesus. Who's Jesus? Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. God became a man and dwelt among men. That's why you call his name Emmanuel, because it's God becoming a human being. It's the exact opposite of paganism. It's the exact polar opposite of paganism. We have the Creator becoming part of the creation. Think about that. The Creator who transcends all of what he made it says, now I'm going to jump in the middle of what I made it and I'm going to become part of what I made. I'm going to become a human being. And so he did, and he lived among us. We called his name Emmanuel, God with us. And you know what? That wasn't good enough for God. God says, that's still not close enough. I want to get closer yet. He wants to move from Emmanuel, God with us, to God inside of us. That is like, that's intense when you think about it. That God wants to come and live inside of me, talk to me, comfort me, heal me, give me a slap down when I need it. But he's living, he's moved in. He's moved into my dwelling place. You ever have anyone move into your home?
Yep.
There goes the home. God is going to come in and shake us up, but he's going to live with us. But it's going to be a really positive, powerful thing. Unlike your relatives who are like fish. They're good for about 3 days. Then you got to move them on, right? All right. Ouch. Okay. God's not like that, though. Okay. Verse 26, Verse 26, speaking of coming and living within us. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. The Father's going to send the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. One of the things that everybody's crying out for today is some peace. We live in an age of turmoil, in an age in which everyone's worked up, everyone's divided, everyone's accusing one another. There's just absolute chaos everywhere and turmoil everywhere, both on the political scene, the international scene, even in our homes, even in our churches. What the world needs, what we need is peace. That peace that passes all understanding. Now, we've experienced that. How many people have experienced the peace that passes all understanding? You can be in the middle of some huge crisis that's absolutely terrifying and have the stability, a peace that you can't even explain. All you know is, somehow, I'm going to be okay. Yes. And because of that, you have this virtue that the world's clamoring for that they can't even understand that sees you through whatever it is that you are all worked up about. That's an amazing thing. We need that peace. Father, I pray you come and minister that word in our hearts and bring that peace that we need, that peace that passes understanding, that peace that brings a tranquility to our hearts so that when we're relating to our neighbors or our authorities or our children or whatever, there's a peace there that's governing us. I mean, how many people like to be around people that are all worked up and ready to snap and ready to bite your head off? You know, you have to walk around on eggshells, right? Very carefully. Yeah, no one likes to be around us when we're like that. But when we're at peace and we have that tranquility, people come from all around to get close to us. They want to know what that's all about. Yep. Now, I'm an intense kind of person. I have to always be on myself. You know, because everything's like, it's got to be intense. So even I think it was this morning, I'm helping Don with something, and I was a little bit intense, and I came back and said, Don, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I have to be so intense. But I was nice and peaceful. I talked quiet. I could tell she really appreciated that demeanor of peace. And so, we need that. That's part of what the Holy Spirit brings. That's the dwelling presence of God. There's a peace about the presence of God that we all desire. He goes on to say, do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. In other words, we're going to see a lot of things in this world, and we're going to experience a lot of things in life that can derail us, that can actually overwhelm us. Jesus is saying, hey, don't be overwhelmed. Be at peace. Don't let your heart be troubled. Govern your heart. Protect your heart. Refuse to allow things to trouble and stir up your heart. Say, shh, peace, be still. You know, peace, be still. Refuse to bow to that which brings the stress and the anxiety that's so disruptive to our lives. Learn to cultivate the peace of God. I'm learning. I'm still learning. I'll forever be learning, right? We all are. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Never bow to fear. Fear is a god. Fear is the anointing of Satan. That's the chief anointing of the evil one. Whenever you fall into any kind of fear, just know that's not God. That's not a God thing. The enemy's close, working his work. When you bow to fear, you'll make your worst decisions. Decisions that then will create consequences that may follow you for quite some time. Be careful. Don't make decisions in fear. Fear not. That's the command of the Lord is, fear not. Resist the temptation to be in fear. Know this, that God causes all things to work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose. When you can catch that and embrace that and have faith rise up through that, you'll blow through anything. Nothing's going to overwhelm you. It's amazing. That's an illustration. All these parents in here, kids are outside. All the kids screaming, crying, but a father can hear his particular kid scream that to me sounds like every other kid scream. Isn't that just amazing? That's like an illustration of the Father. When we're crying out, and there's probably maybe a billion people on any given day crying out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God's able to say, oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, that's so-and-so, right? And he is fast running out, just like he did, to go see what the problem is. God cares about each and every one of us. He has the resources to watch over each and every one of us. No one left behind. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where'd they get that one, right? Hallelujah. All right, we're going to give the glory to God. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. Now I've told you before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has nothing in me, but so that the world may know that I love the Father, I do exactly as the Father commanded me. Now get up and let's go from here. Hallelujah. Sometimes the Lord's just saying, okay, now get up. Let's move forward. It's time to move forward. We're in a new season. But God allowed us last year. He's no longer allowing us this year. He's saying it's time to grow. He's stretching us. He allows things to come to us that are challenging. Why? Because he's saying it's time to grow some more. I want you to become more loving, more compassionate, more forgiving. Resist that fear, you know. Let not your heart be troubled. Now let's get moving. There's work to do. There's an agenda. The ruler of this world is coming. And he has nothing in him. Jesus invaded this ruler's world to take it back. The ruler of this world stole from God through seduction. And now God sent his son to invade his kingdom and plunder it. And he's taking back that which belongs to the Father. So the war is on. No one left behind. We're going to join hands together. We're going to move together. We're going to pray together. We're going to do our part in the body of Messiah to advance the kingdom of Yeshua in this world. His agenda, his ways in this world, on earth as it is in heaven. We got work to do. No one's going to run off with wind-up radios and batteries in a cave with some biscuits they bought from the Mormons and hide out. We're not on the defensive. No, the enemy's camp's going to have to buy biscuits from the Mormons because we're here ruling and reigning with Messiah, bringing about his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven through peace, not violence, but it's our world. We're the ones that are inheriting it. So it's time for us to rise up, move forward, recognizing that God is in us and he's on the move. He's saying, now get up and let's go forward, right? Okay, so let me just conclude this. Let's see. So the incarnation of God in the birth of Jesus is the inaugural fulfillment of God's promise to dwell in human nature. So again, the Creator joining in his creation. For the first time in approximately 14 billion years of creation history, he now jumps into that history as a human being. Now, how many people remember C.S. Lewis? Some of the young people may not. He was probably the most brilliant mind of the last generation. Christian thinker, author, philosopher, just amazing in every way. Okay. So he was just one of the most brilliant thinkers in Christianity. Well, in the enemy's camp was another man. His name was Antony Flew. Antony Flew was the number one apologist for atheism. He was their most brilliant debater, philosopher. He was the kingpin of atheism. He even debated C.S. Lewis on a number of occasions. Well, Antony Flew, about 10 years ago, flip-flopped. He changed his mind. He became a believer in God based on Big Bang cosmology, which is rooted in the biblical text. That there was a time in which matter, energy, space, and time did not exist. That's Big Bang cosmology. All the other cosmologies says that all of this stuff is eternal. Big Bang cosmology said, no, there was a time in which none of it existed. We can prove that now. That time and space and matter and I forget the other one, but energy did not exist. And then all of a sudden existed all in a nanosecond, just came into being. So based on the hard science now, everyone recognizes that there has to be a causal agent that caused that to come into being. Antony Flew got it. He said, it's over. It's a game changer. The science has changed the debate. And in atheism, no one's talking about this idea that there's no causal agent. It's shifted. The debate is shifted. It's changed forever. No longer are they saying there is no causal agent, i.e. God. All they're debating right now, the new debate is it even possible that there could be any relationship between us and the causal agent? That's the debate, whether it's even possible that a creator of that level of intelligence and power can even relate to us or vice versa. That's where the debate is. Now I want to tell you something. Antony Flew is a believer in the causal agent. He's not sure about Jesus, but let me tell you, Jesus is the creator. He's the creator, and he's come to us for the very purpose of relationship. That this is the nature of love, that the one who created us in his image, he calls us the image bearers of God. He created us in his own image for one purpose. He wanted to relate to us, have relationship with the object of his love, you and me. Of course, the causal agent is concerned and invested in his creation. And Jesus, he not only came, but he promised to sacrifice himself for us on our behalf, to make the payment for our sins, to remove our sin far away from us. He promised to ascend on high, and he did. And he's now reclaiming creation by his great power. He has promised that he and his Father will come to us via the Holy Spirit and dwell deep inside of our very being. This, the incarnation, the birth of Jesus, infant and infinite. He is the one through his life, death, and resurrection and ascension is pouring out his Spirit. This is the initial fulfillment of what God promised through Moses when he said, I will dwell in the midst of my people.
Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yahweh lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And we add, in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace, so you shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Yivarech Adonai ve'yishmerecha. Yaher Adonai panav alecha Is Adonai Panavaleka Veasemleka Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.
You've been listening to the Shabbat message delivered by Senior Pastor Mark McClellan. We hope you have found this teaching relevant and challenging for your life. If you are in the Metro Denver area, please join us on Shabbat. Service starts at 1 p.m. and ends at 3 p.m. Kehila Tenuva is located at 8891 Pose Boulevard in Thornton, Colorado, just a few miles north of downtown Denver. For more information, please visit www.graftedin.com. That's www.graftedin.com. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 29993, Thornton, Colorado, 80229. For inquiries, please call 303-761-9948 or email info@graftedin.com. Thank you for listening to the Shabbat message. Shabbat Shalom and Shavua Tov.